Grace be unto you and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. With that prayer of faith that the Heavenly Father would break the living bread, I'll read for the topic of examination from the second book of Corinthians. From the first explanation, chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willingly, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Amen. In this holy book, there are 13 letters. This is what Paul has left behind. He has written many other letters that have disappeared in history. These letters have been written as personal letters to people or to congregations. As this text was written to the congregation of Corinth. Why did Paul write letters? The letters include instructions to the congregation which Paul was able to give birth to through the grace of God in different localities to strengthen them, so that they would have the endeavor, so they would be able to endeavor until the end, but also to warn. But to warn the congregations of wrong apostles, wrong doctrines. But also to instruct the entire congregation. Paul has written to Corinth 4 letters, but only 2 have remained. The letter which the word stands strong, the book which has been published by SRK, it is mentioned that these two books of Corinthians are the second and the fourth book. The others are perished or have been lost. But why did Paul write so many letters to Corinth? And above all, he went there. Timothy went there twice. But he also went there to clarify the situation about what had come to the in the midst of the children of God. There was a little bit of differences between the congregations. The first book of Corinthians says how marriage, the ethics of marriage, got messed up. Also, the first book of Corinthians says about the sexual desires was in the midst of the kingdom of God. These were the kind of messages that came to Paul. And of course, he became sorrowful over them. He wrote the first letter of Corinthians. The first book of Corinthians has a very powerful text that today it would be very hard to publish. It was in truth and it was in love. Love towards the congregation into which he had brought this living word of God. We all know one portion of the first book of Corinthians. At least those of us who are married. This 13th chapter. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and not have charity, I became as a sounding bass or a tinkling cymbal. It continues it, how charity suffereth long and is kind. How this is always read in a marriage ceremony. It includes a lot and is an important part of the letter of the Corinthians. It wasn't written for what we have used it for today, very commonly in marriage ceremonies. But it's meant for that midst, that the love of God would be proclaimed in the correct way, or come forth in the correct way. And Paul speaks with them with love and truth. It's a pair that belong together. Older speaker brothers have often compared this pair as it is in a sleigh, always has a pair. That if the pair broke, that means that then they went into the woods. We need the truth and the love. In the teaching of God's word. This is how Paul wrote the first book of Corinthians. And then I said in the third book of Corinthians how Timothy went there twice to the congregation, and how Paul wrote yet one letter, and how then he himself went to Corinth to meet these familiar children of God, in which he had heard this message that it does not part of the child of God. We could compare it to the life of today when we look around us. and how we can hear echoes of these same matters which Paul instructed to the congregation of Corinth. Paul draw nigh unto them with love. Then Paul received messages. But these messages were no longer sorrowful, but they were good messages. That's where Paul writes. How Paul writes in chapter 7. And after he had written those letters, he thought that they would get mad at him. But then he writes, "Now I rejoice, not of this, that you were sorrowful, but that you repented. You were sorrowful over the mind of Christ." Because this sorrow, what happens, may lead to salvation, which not one will deny. They had seriously put away sin. It was good news to Paul. This fifth chapter in which we read, it began with these words, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Our temporal house. When our life ends, our temporal life disappears. It's good that our name is in the book of life. When our names are written in the book of life in heaven, that is when we have built the house that is built by God, and we have made it to the destination. This is what Paul wanted to explain to the congregation of Corinth. Paul continues here, "For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." What is in the kingdom of God? It is that which what we have needed quite often. We have needed to be clothed quite often, which is that clothing which is acceptable to the eternal wedding feast. The Lord Jesus gave the parable of the wedding. It is good that we have the garments of the wedding when the call comes. Many of us live a healthy life, and it feels that we live here for many hundreds of years. But life can be cut off as like a silver lining. Those of you who have been near death, even in the last moments, days, you have been able to prove how it is one breath, how a person can join into the ones who are giving thanks. For this reason, Paul instructs that we know. It is not something that is unsure, but through the Spirit, it proves that we are a child of God. When the grace of God has been enlightened and we have received the sins forgiven, through this gospel, how the Holy Spirit preaches to the congregation even today. The Spirit answers the Spirit. If we start measuring ourselves or we look at the person sitting next to us, yeah, that person will make it to the destination. But what about me? For this reason, we are at services. to strengthen our faith. With the secure of the gospel, only through faith and only through grace, we will make it to heaven. We want to be clothed in this garment. In this garment, which has given from above into the congregation, Mother, has been come from above, laid to the congregation, Mother, which gives birth to a child of God. No other garment is acceptable. If we put on a cloth of self-righteousness, if we are clothed in them, it's not good. If so that be clothed, we shall be found naked. There's no room at the wedding of the King in which we are journeying towards. But Paul yet says, we live in the flesh, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. It is not easy to endeavor in today's world, in the place where sin, where nothing is called sin anymore. Everything needs to be accepted. In this time, it is difficult to endeavor. Every single one of us, we cannot get away from them. The internet and the media, all the inventions of today, many are good and necessary, but it has its dangers. For this reason, that we do groan, being burdened. But yet again, we can be in good security in the kingdom of God, and we know that now that we wrath us. Through faith, not through what we see. Only through grace and faith are we saved. In the world, it says how much we should have a lot of grace. It came to my mind how one brother who spoke with one man how we should speak of grace. That if a person feels sinfulness, he will be preached the grace. You cannot preach the grace to someone who does not feel that they are sinful. The sinful need grace. As all of us know in our minds, we need a lot of grace. Because we live in our body. We are confident, I say, and we will willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. When we look at the songs of Zion, it speaks much of yearning for the home, homesickness, to our real fatherland and to our Father which is in heaven. That is where we're journeying towards. And that's why we're traveling to there, yearning for our homeland. There are tens of songs that speak of this. Speaks of the home yearning of a child of God. We only look at these matters through faith. We endeavor in faith. and we endeavor so that we are acceptable to Lord, not so that we'd be successful in not falling into sin, but it is the power of God. But only through grace we are believing, not through our own works we could not brag about it. Only through faith and through grace. But a child of God does not want to fall into sin. As in the first psalm it says, saved are those who do not live in the ungodly. It is throughout the Bible. It is one that divides the two parts. There are only two. One make it to heaven, and those who lead what leads to damnation. How it is important that we would endeavor that our names would be written in the book of life. Matters of believing or matters of faith, we are never on vacation. Now it is summer vacation time. You youth and young and everyone else, you travel or you rest. So you rest to become ready for the preparations of fall and returning to work. It is also God's doing that we are on vacation. But with faith, we are never on vacation. If we be in a foreign land or in our homeland, we are children of God. We are messengers, we could say, each one of us. We are sent as messengers to speak of the kingdom of God. Through our own lives, the way we behave, our speech, bring forth this message. Many have been pricked in their hearts. Youth, when they've been traveling in foreign countries, they behave in a way a child of God behaves. They begin to marvel. Who are you? And that's where you begin discussing, speaking of the kingdom of God, which is yet possible to believe through grace one's sins forgiven. And then the Holy Spirit teaches us. This world always have this temporal time of saying to see how good you are, to see if you're good enough. But in the kingdom of God, it is preached through grace that you can receive all your sins forgiven, and you don't have a time to test to see if how good you are. When we feel that we have fallen into sin, the gospel, the grace gospel, washes away all sin. It is good for us to remember, as the Paul reminded the people of Corinth and reminds us people of today. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Paul reminds us here. The children of God here at Race Edery Services, or the people of Corinth, would not forget that we are journeying to our way home. Journeying to that moment where we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That we could be in that flock that has said, come ye blessed of my Father, to own that which has been prepared for you. At these services we have been able to join together with the other sisters and brothers. Now you can believe all your sins forgiven and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven, and rejoice of it. Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven, and to rejoice. God's heart is open, is broad. He will take all who desire to preach the gospel. We could rejoice of it. That is when we can rejoice to meet our Lord and Savior. It could be close this day. But through the grace of God, it might be for a long time. And we can bring this message of the kingdom of God on our own behalf, in our own lives. Bring the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. Not this, how good you must live, that you do this or that. The Holy Spirit instructs what is correct and what is not according to the Word of God. It's a good thing. That we do not need to think about these types of issues at that moment. Just believe the gospel on one's own behalf. Then when we can see this, we'll be in that flock of who rejoices, not because of our own merits, but our garment. But it's the grace, our garment of Christ, that is accepted to the eternal wedding feast, festive, and we can rejoice of it in eternity, but not of our own merits, only through faith and once through grace, as it was with Luther, enlighten the word unto him. The word of God is the only word which always looked and searched upon. It's unperishing word of God. It is not something that can be interpreted, but is as it is written. This world accepts things that are interpreted. One interprets in one way than what the Holy Spirit proclaims unto us. It is God's holy word. And it is written in the end of this book. The holy men have written this through the office of the Holy Spirit. The key which opens this word is opened, what has opened the kingdom through the Holy Spirit. You, dear brother and sister, you have this in your heart, this gift and this treasure. It is only through grace. And even now, we can, even today, can remain believing. All sins and doubts forgiven. Here in this tent, outside this tent, those listening on the radio and on the internet throughout the world, this word is the same. It's the forgiveness message to the poor, to the one who feels weak, to a child of God. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. That is our strength. In this way, we can remain. We can remain in the blessed care of His Word. Can I believe my doubts and sins forgiven? This is my desire, to travel with you, support one another, so we can be in the flock that thanks, rejoices. In Jesus' name, amen.